Well, finally, it's all about coming home for the Toronto Blue Jays. You know, we've spent more time at home, I think, than ever in these past 16 months. Home to keep ourselves safe, home to keep our families and coworkers safe, home in our own little bubbles. I don't know about you, Barker, but I got tired of the word bubble mucho fast. And even when the red light turned green, you know, there was caution, right? Caution that was justified when it turned red again and we went back into lockdown and, you know, we got used to watching our teams from a distance. I mean, in the cases of the Raptors and the Blue Jays and TFC in places where the stands were often empty and at times even when they were full, well, they were full of visiting fans. Now, look, they weren't starving. They weren't losing money or watching their businesses close or their employees being laid off. They're well compensated, well cared for, but, you know, they still weren't home. And I know this about professional athletes. Few, if any of them, ever sign up to be vagabonds. So let's talk about home. The Blue Jays are home tonight for the first time in 670 days, and you've seen all of the social media posts about how they feel. And, you know, look, we are not home free when it comes to defeating COVID-19. Indeed, depending on who you talk to, depending on the news, any given day you might think that we're farther away than we were a month ago, given, you know, the rising concern about the Delta variant. But, you know, vaccinations have left us in a better position to deal with it. The hard work of our frontline workers and anybody who put their lives and businesses on hold out of respect, both for the virus and their fellow citizens, well, it's left us in a better position to deal with whatever's coming. You know, we've started to come out of our houses, started to go to the streets, the patios, the shops, the restaurants. You know, squinting into the bright sunshine of kind of what our life used to be like and, you know, what we hope it will be again. And, you know, there's going to be sunlight at the Rogers Centre this weekend, and there's going to be fans. 15,000. Not a sellout, but that's a start. It's a good start. You know, the last time this building saw as much activity was in those darker days of the pandemic when it was the site of a massive food bank. I think it was last June. In that time, the Jays have signed George Springer. They've made the playoffs in a shortened season. They've watched Vladdy Jr. and Bo Bichette turn into full-blown all-stars. And just today, they traded for Jose Berríos, who at worst becomes their third-best starting pitcher and gives them an awful lot of security going into the offseason. But mostly, and this is a credit to the entire organization, they've kept the flame burning, right? They've maintained a connection to their fans by words and deed, while their management, and I'm going to say this, and ownership, adopted an appropriately sensitive and sensible stance to getting the players back across the border. Do no harm. That is how we were all supposed to approach coming out of the pandemic. And so here we are. This feels less like a rebirth than it does, I don't know, opening day, reopening day. It kind of feels, to me anyhow, like that first time we opened our doors to our neighbors or our friend we hadn't seen for so many months and invited them in for a bite or a drink or a cup of coffee or, you know, just to chat. People that we'd sort of been talking to across their back porch for the past couple of months. Tonight, we welcome the Blue Jays home and they welcome us into their home. And even if nothing's quite yet perfect, my guess is it won't take either side long to become firm, fast friends. Because you see, home is where the kids grow up and excite you. And yeah, sometimes they disappoint you. But at the end of the day, home is where everybody's got everybody else's back. Look, I know these players miss Toronto, but I don't think they have any earthly clue how much Toronto missed them. In about 2 hours, they'll find out, and they're going to remember, or in some cases, discover what it feels like to truly be home. Hello and welcome to Baseball Central. It is Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. The Blue Jays are home. They will play the Kansas City Royals. First pitch is in a little more than 2 hours. It'll be right here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet. Kevin Barker, a trade deadline unlike any I've seen. People were tallying up the number of all-stars that were moved this year, the number of the Cy Young awards that were moved this year. let's talk about the Blue Jays first and foremost. The Jays' signature move was acquiring Jose Berríos from the Minnesota Twins for Austin Martin and Simeon Wood Richardson. Now, Berríos immediately, to my mind, becomes at worst their number three starter. Depending on what happens to Robbie Ray, because he's under control for next year, he could very well be the opening day starter next. It wouldn't be out of the question. It wouldn't be out of the question that Jose Berríos is the opening day starter. It's probably between him and...
Depends on how many lefties are here.
Hyunjin Ryu, yeah. Right. He was... Once you got past Max Scherzer, he was, I think it's safe to say, in most people's mind, the best pitcher in the market. The Jays ended up giving up two prospects that we've talked an awful lot about, Simeon Wood Richardson, of course, who joined the team in the Marcus Stroman deal, and Austin Martin, who was the fifth-round pick overall last year. And I looked at it this way. When the deal came out, I thought, okay, well, let's sit back and see what the Jays gained and what they lost. And they made a deal later on in the day getting Joaquin Soria to go along. I mean, they've completely rebuilt their bullpen. We'll talk about that later on. But the Berríos deal, I looked at it this way. First of all, I don't know what Austin Martin is. Is he a center fielder? Is he a shortstop? Is he a second baseman? Is he a third baseman? For him to help the Blue Jays in the next 2 years, Austin Martin probably has to be a third baseman or a catcher. Center field looks like it's well taken care of. Shortstop, you might like a defensive upgrade from Bo, but I got to tell you, I've not heard anybody in your organization tell me they thought Austin Martin was a significant defensive upgrade over Bo. So to me, that's a non-starter.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not going to have an impact on your organization for the next two, maybe 3 years. Simeon Wood Richardson could have an impact next year. But as I said today on Twitter, ask yourself this. Who makes the Blue Jays better tonight and next year? Jose Berríos or Simeon Wood Richardson? It's a no-brainer. So that's how I look at this deal. This deal has made the Jays better now. But as Mark Shapiro said in an interview with Sid Sixero, of all people this morning, you know, he said, I'm excited about this team's present, but I'm really excited about this team's future. And I think in adding a guy like Jose Berríos, they've added a guy that makes this team better this year, better next year. And then if you re-sign him a couple of years down the road.
Well, yeah, what's he do? He splits up the lefties. He'll give you a different look, right? You got a lefty who's a command guy, add and subtract. You got one guy who's a power guy. It's all or nothing kind of thing. You add Berríos to the mix. It's a sinker baller who can get lefties and righties out, who's efficient, doesn't give up homers, doesn't walk a ton of people. Is going to give you a chance to win every single day. It'll keep people like Hatch from starting. You're going to figure out what do you do with Stripling and Matz. Do you move Matz to the bullpen? Do you move Stripling to the bullpen? Do you keep one of those as your fifth starter? Fifth starter is what it is. It's a revolving door, right? It really doesn't matter. Down the stretch, they'll maneuver it to put in the hottest guy. If one of the guys is not pitching well, he just won't pitch. They've made it obvious with these kind of moves. Prospects are what they are. Jeff, I used to be one of the top prospects for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yes.
Now I'm sitting here with you,
well, there you
doing
go.
This show from 5 to 7.
There so you go. There you go.
Prospects are what they are. They are. How do we know what Austin Martin's going to be? The scouts that I've talked to, the coaches that I've talked to, he doesn't have position offensively. First time I saw him, what did I tell you? That big movement that he does with his hands, velocity, the shift, it's going to be real hard to consistently do that. Going from college to the first at-bat that you have in a pro in the pros, he made a big change with his mechanics of where he uses his hands, how straight up and down he is. That's odd for a guy that's your fifth pick in the first round to make a big giant move like that. So we don't really know athleticism, what he can do. Does he have arm strength enough to play shortstop? Well, scouts would say no. Can he do that at third base? Does he have fast twitch muscles good enough to be able to do that? it, you know, right, it's impact at the big league level in the next 5 years. For me, they have a five-year window.
Mm-hmm.
Until you have to back up the Brinks truck for the guy that plays short and the guy that plays first base, you got a five-year window. They're going to try and jam-pack as many good veteran players around those two guys as they can possibly get to make runs at this. And you can't tell me that Ross Atkins wasn't sitting at home the last couple of days and thinking about all the pub that Tampa was getting, about every single name that was out there. Tampa was throwing their name in there. And, oh, by the way, what the Yankees have done. You can't tell me that Ross is not sitting around going, well, my lineup's just as good as those two lineups. What are we doing? We're going to add to this. Now, is that taking to the next level? Is Brad Hand going to, you know, every time they hand the ball to him, is he going to shut the door? Probably not. Is Berríos going to be the be-all, end-o? Oh, yeah, he's much better than the Hatches and the Striplings and the Mats. Guys that you don't want to make 30 starts or 20-plus starts, mm-hmm. This guy's going to do it instead of those guys. And then those guys are going to fill in wherever they're going to fill in. Fifth starter, long relief, whatever. That's what good teams do. They have as many of those guys as possible, but they need three good guys down the stretch, and now they have that, and they have different looks.
They've got three good guys down the stretch, and they've got a guy in Manoah that seems to rise to the challenge.
It will be interesting, right? Too. He hasn't pitched since the 9th of July, so that'll be an interesting thing to watch Saturday. Kansas City, you know, they're mm-hmm. hottest team since the All-Star break, won a lot of games. You know, they don't know any better. They don't got no pressure on them. It'll be interesting to see command and those things and the break on the slider, but I like the first four guys.
Yeah.
Right. You know, maybe Sunday you're seeing the new guy instead of seeing Thomas Hatch. What kind of Blue Jays fan would rather see the guy that they just brought in than a guy like Thomas Hatch or somebody else? And so it, for me, this was a no-brainer. And the Simeon Woods Richardson thing, the scouts that I've talked to and that you've talked to, is he a starter? Is he a hybrid guy? Is he a closer? Can he use five pitches? Does he have, three quality big league pitches? Can he command and maintain velocity long enough to be a starter, get you through two times in the order? They had no idea, that the scouts that I talked to.
Yeah.
And that screams time. And I just mentioned it. They have a five-year window.
I know from talking to a couple of folks, one scout in particular who spent a lot of time around the Blue Jays in the past couple of years. He maintains that, well, he told me this last week. We talked about it off the air, and I know that you've talked to coaches about it as well. He said, if it's me, I bring Simeon Wood Richardson into spring training next year, and I say, you're my closer, and I start working him in as my closer. Now, I don't know if that's necessarily where the organization was going with it, but it is a sign that, look, no one doubts the stuff is there. And it's entirely
very athletic and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's entirely possible Minnesota figures out what he is. But you're right. The Jays aren't in a position right now where they can figure out what Simeon Wood Richardson is at the major league level. It's that simple. If this team is like 30 games out, I'm exaggerating. If this team is where, I'm not where Baltimore is, but if this team is out of the wild card race, like if they're like double digits out of the wild card race, they might not make this deal.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, they might not make it. For me, I mean, I may regret saying this, but for me, the harder loss here is Simeon Wood Richardson than Austin Martin. That's just me. That's based on everything.
From people that I've talked to and what I've, obviously we haven't seen him play. I've seen him on video and those kind of things and mechanical things at the plate and not having a position to be as high as he was, you know, said to be as the prospect for the Toronto Blue Jays. You look at how many home runs he's hit. Now, home runs is not everything, but when you have the shift and you're looking for guys that are top-end prospects that you would think big part of the field, driving the baseball, creating backspin, does that scream Austin Martin? Not for me.
As we mentioned, we are your Blue Jays post-game show. We will carry you right up to first pitch with Ben Wagner, and Ben Wagner will join us from the Jays radio booth at 6:45 p.m. Ned Coletti, former Dodgers GM, currently analyst for Sportsnet LA, will join us. Ned Coletti has made some big-ass deals at the trade deadline. Some of them have worked out. Some of them... but we'll talk to Ned, not just about what it's like to be a GM at the deadline, but talk about the Los Angeles Dodgers. I mean, the stuff that happened in the West is just silly. You know, we had Ken Rosenthal reporting that the Padres were close to acquiring Max Scherzer. Then all of a sudden the Dodgers jumped in, and not only did they get Max Scherzer, they got Trey Turner. And then just at the deadline, at the 4 o'clock deadline today, it's like the San Francisco Giants just snuck in there and got Chris Bryant. The Chicago Cubs trading Chris Bryant, Javier Baez, Anthony Rizzo, basically backing up the truck. Now that, again, prospects are prospects, but based on what people are saying about the return the Cubs got, they did pretty well in terms of.
Yeah, I want to ask Ned, what would be harder? Would it be harder to go out and do what the Blue Jays did?
Mm-hmm.
Or would it be harder to do what the Cubs did?
The Jays were also apparently, and again, this is from a variety of reports, in on Yan Gomes, a catcher. He went to Oakland. They were also, I don't know if I'd say in, but they apparently had some discussions about Trevor Story as well with the Colorado Rockies. Trevor Story didn't go anywhere. But there were a lot of big deals made. Javier Baez off to the Mets, where he will play second base alongside his friend Francisco Lindor. He is, of course, a free agent. The Chicago White Sox, I mean, where do you start? They got Craig Kimbrell, a closer for the next 2 years. They've got Liam Hendricks for a couple of years as well. They got him as a free agent. I mean...
What do you do if you're Tony La Russa? You got two alpha males at the end of the game who care about the number when it's under the S for saves. What do you do?
And one guy, Liam Hendricks, who'll pitch you. He'll pitch two in the third innings if you need him to.
That, like, for me, will be an issue.
Well, you're going to have to manage that situation.
Give each one of them an opportunity to get theirs.
You're going to have to manage that situation.
Good luck with that. That may be the easiest thing down the stretch. Okay, game seven of the World Series. Who gets it between the two? That's the thing. Yeah.
And I wonder what Liam Hendricks is thinking right now, because he was the Jays. Talked to him. He was at the Jays complex.
Yeah.
And I wonder now if Liam Hendricks is thinking, man, if I go to Toronto and I'm closing out games for that freaking team, now I'm in Chicago and I'm going to have to share the closing duties.
Yeah, he did get paid, though. You got to remember that. It'd be a little easier to talk him into things, but Bart, I think Tony's going to have to.
He was going
to
get paid either way.
Oh, he would have.
So that, I mean, there were some fascinating moves. I mean, of course, the Max Scherzer deal, we talked about that. The Yankees adding Anthony Rizzo and Joey Gallo. The Red Sox adding Kyle Schwarber. The Rays, Barker said, the Rays won deal today. They added some guy from the Orioles, and Barker said, check this guy's spin rate.
It's
off the charts.
He'll be closing in the World Series. Watch. That's a fact.
I don't even know what the hell his name is, but he's going to be shoving it up the Jays' ass at some point this year.
I saw spin rate like the 2800s. Good luck.
That's right. But anyhow, that's where we are. A ton of deals made today. And as I said, Ned Colletti will join us. Rex Hudler, he's going to bring some energy from the ballpark, I would imagine, at 6:05. Mark Douglas of 680 News joins us at 6:15. Look, today is about the fans as much as it's about the Blue Jays. Mark has been out talking to the fans who are at the game tonight. 15,000 fans in attendance, a lot of first responders, a lot of frontline workers. It's going to be a great night. As I said yesterday, there are a lot of protocols in place. They're common sense protocols.
Yep.
They're common sense protocols. Follow them.
Be nice.
Have a great time at the game. And I cannot stress this enough. I cannot stress this enough. Not having any idea what it's like at the gates right now because with COVID and some of the restrictions, we're working from our regular studio today. I mean, we just are, because there's a limit on the number of media people that can be at the ballpark, and that's fine. That's part of the COVID restrictions. But just be a little patient, because a lot of folks are going to be doing stuff that they haven't done for a long time, and practice all the good stuff, all the stuff your mother told you about 60 years ago, and you went, or 50 years ago, and you went, wash your hands. I'll spit in my hands. That's good. To wash your hands, social distancing, all that stuff. And adhere to that.
And don't forget, have fun.
You've
earned it.
Have a lot of fun. Have a lot of fun, and give the Blue Jays the return that they deserve. Ross Atkins is doing his media availability. He's doing it right now. Ross Atkins is doing his media availability right now. We will break it down for you. Actually, we're going to play it in its entirety at 5:40. 5:40, we'll play it in its entirety. So you get a chance to hear Ross Atkins talk about moves that were made and weren't made, and you'll get his insight into the moves that were made right from the horse's mouth, so to speak. But we're going to take a break right now. Can I just see? Oh, Joey Bart is not part of the package after being rumored. That's the Chris Bryant deal. We'll talk about all the deals that were made not involving the Blue Jays when we come back. It's Baseball Central. The Jays are home on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
We want to go to a city who was competing, and, you know, they are playing well so far. They got a really good group of young players, so that excited me a little bit more because I know we're going to go there and, you know, compete. I just not go there and just do for nothing, so that's good for myself. And, you know, I work for compete and do my best out there. So now I had the chance to keep doing what I've been doing, and I'm going to be ready for it to do that.
That is the newest Toronto Blue Jay, one of the newest Toronto Blue Jays, Jose Berríos. I got that right.
Boy.
Jose Berríos talking to the media today after his trade to the Toronto Blue Jays was announced. And listening to that interview, the amount of gushing the Twins PR department and the Twins writers did.
Yeah.
And I mean this in a good way, Jose Berríos. And the way he talked about his excitement of coming to Toronto and his excitement of playing with this team and how much he enjoyed his time. And, I mean, God, the dude thanked the beat writers.
Yeah.
Who the hell does that for the
most
part?
Seems like he's really smart. He's got a really good curveball. He's got a really good sinker. Like I said, I just can't wait to hear and see Pete Walker get with him and work with his changeup. He's got a really good changeup. It doesn't throw it all the time, but could he use that, right? Whoa. Element of surprise, you add that. You can sprinkle around the four-seamer. You mix him in between the two lefties.
First pitch is just after 7 o'clock tonight. You can hear it here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan with Ben Wagner. It is, of course, also available on TV. This is the Blue Jays lineup for their homecoming game, as we're calling it. George Springer leading off in center field. Vladdy Jr. is at first. Marcus Semien is at second. Bo Bichette is at shortstop. Teoscar is in left field. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. is the DH, so the elbow bruise, I guess, is good enough. Randall Grichuk's in right field, Santiago Espinal at third base, and Alejandro Kirk behind the plate. For the Kansas City Royals, it is Whit Merrifield, Carlos Santana, Salvador Perez, Andrew Benintendi, Hunter Dozier, Ryan O'Hearn, Michael A. Taylor, Jared Dyson, Nicky Lopez. The Royals did make a trade, trading Jorge Soler to the Atlanta Braves. And, basically the Royals, they've played good baseball since the All-Star break. And, Bark, I think we're both on the same page about this team. This team, these guys are looking at the Central, and they're thinking, you know, and they got Bobby Witt Jr.
Great.
Coming up.
That's what they're saying.
The Royals, I think, the Royals are one of those teams that have kind of got it going on, I think, you know.
They do it the right way for me. You think about pitching and defense in a big ballpark like that. If you can get enough hitters that can think big part of the field, think doubles more than homers, right? Get them on, get them over, get them in, and you got a really good pitching staff and a good back end of your bullpen and play good defense. That's what it's all about, and I'm with you. They're thinking that division, that they can do all those things. They can make a run at it. But the Jorge Soler thing, that for me helps the Blue Jays.
Mm-hmm.
You got Ross Stripling on the mound who will hang a breaking ball occasionally at the Rogers Center. I'm just saying.
I want to take a look at some of the deals that were made around baseball. Let's take a look at our the big deals and our winners and losers. How about that? And keep in mind that we also should mention Brad Hand. The Jays did make a roster move. Tyler Chatwood was DFA'd to make room for Jose Berríos. Brad Hand and Joaquin Soria. Oh, God. It's like, anyhow. Roster moves will have to be made for them at some point.
Soria.
Whatever. Will have to be made at some point.
It's not whatever.
I know. Got the name right at least. And we'll await those moves. But some of the other deals that were made today, the last big deal, the Giants getting Chris Bryant from the Cubs for outfielder Alexander Canario and right-handed pitcher Caleb Killian. So Joey Bart, the Giants catcher, one of the top prospects in baseball that was originally included in that deal and had me giddy for the Cubs, because the Cubs also got Nick Madrigal in the in the Craig Kimbrell deal. He's not part of the deal. So I like that deal even better for San Francisco. I'm going to make a bold call right now.
Oh,
bold call
go
right
ahead,
now.
Do it.
Bold call right now. San Francisco is going to make the playoffs this year.
Boy, you're good.
One of L.A. or San Diego won't make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, it ain't going to be the Dodgers. Dodgers are a pretty good team. You got Max Scherzer for about another eight starts.
Yeah, I know.
You got Trey Turner coming off the IL because of COVID.
The Mets got Javier Baez, Trevor Williams, and cash from the Cubs for Pete Crow Armstrong. We mentioned the Blue Jays acquisition. The White Sox got Craig Kimbrell from the Cubs.
Yeah.
Nick Madrigal is going to be a good player in the National League. But, my God. That
White Sox trying to win a World Series.
White Sox. Well, I think the White Sox are the – can I say they're the best team in baseball right now? I might say they're the
you
best team
it,
in baseball right now. Okay. They're the best team in baseball, not named the L.A. Dodgers.
You could say in the American League.
Okay, they're the best team in the American League. The Dodgers got Max Scherzer and Trey Turner, and Ned Colletti's going to join us. That's still sick for Keibert Ruiz, Josiah Gray, Gerardo Carrillo, and Donovan Casey. The Phillies got Kyle Gibson and Ian Kennedy at the deadline. Phillies needed to do something to upgrade their rotation. We mentioned the A's acquired Yan Gomes and second baseman Josh Harrison from the Nationals. We believe the Jays were in on that. Andrew Heaney went to the Yankees. The Yankees, of course, also added Rizzo and Joey Gallo, and they're all both of them in the outfield tonight for the Yankees. And Kyle Schwarber went to the Boston Red Sox. So let's talk about our winners and losers. Now, I wish I should have got you guys to get the clip from Jerry DePoto, the Mariners GM. The Mariners GM. Now, remember, this guy traded Kendall Graveman a couple of days ago. And
for Diego Castillo, basically.
Basically.
But at the time,
he said, hey,
Just wait.
It's, you know, let me work my magic. Well, the magic didn't necessarily transpire. His team has lost two games in a row. They hate their GM. The fans are up in arms. And the first question today of Jerry DePoto, and I don't know who asked it, but the first question, God love him, was, so Jerry, what happened? Did your phone die in the morning? So if you're looking at losers... If you're looking at losers, because we do like to put down this, and it's hard to.
No, it's not the team; it's the GM.
Jerry DePoto is front and center here as the loser, and you can't look at the Washington. We don't know what these prospects are for the Washington.
Yeah,
the Washington Nationals
got.
We got no idea.
No.
The Cubs. I kind of think the Cubbies did okay. Nick Madrigal's a guy who might win a batting title or something.
Well, you got a lot of chances to get it right, basically, is what the Cubs are trying to do.
Yeah, they got a lot of chances to get it right. I think they did okay. Minnesota confuses me. Now, Austin Martin, the talking point after the Austin Martin deal was that Byron Buxton may be on the block because he is not going to sign an extension with the Twins. So perhaps that... you know, opens the possibility for a deal at some point. Austin Martin, the Twins have said, we're playing him in center field.
Austin Martin doesn't have 200 at-bats to minor league level yet.
Yeah, I look at the Twins, and I ask, do they not know the division they're in? Like, there's no reason the Twins can't win that division next year.
Yeah, I think so, too.
There isn't.
Well, I think that's why you see them trading Barrios, is they think, okay, even without him, we can still make a run at this thing, at least be in the wild card hunt. You can struggle throughout the season more than one time and still be in the race because of the division you play in. Yeah, it's that's the kind of thing. With the Austin Martin thing, I think we just need to wait and see what he turns out to be. Is he a shortstop? Probably not. Arm strength. Is he a third baseman? Same reason he's not a shortstop. Is he a second baseman? Can he hit enough? Is he a leadoff hitter? Is he a number two hitter? Can he start creating some backspin? All of these things are up in the air for me.
I'll tell you, the team, we talked about this, but the White Sox, if I had to pick, because I know a lot of people are going to be trumpeting what the Yankees did.
And the Dodgers. Not the Dodgers. Leave the Dodgers aside.
Okay.
They won it.
But I look at, not only did they add Craig Kimbrell to go with Liam Hendricks, but they kept Craig Kimbrell away from the Houston Astros, who are interested in him and who are at some point, you know, right now you'd probably say that's a team that White Sox may be playing at some point in the postseason. They kept Craig Kimbrell away from them and from the Tampa Bay Rays. There was some talk that Craig Kimbrell would interest the Rays. So I look at that as constituting a win. And further to your point about the Dodgers, we'll talk to Ned Colletti about this. Further to your point about the Dodgers, not only did they get Max Scherzer, but they kept them away from the Padres.
Yeah, I think Tony La Russa too, for me, for the White Sox, it's a big deal. You got two alpha males. Again, I've said this, at the back end of the bullpen, who like the save number under their name, and they want that number to go up, right? And there's a lot of clout for them. And when you got two guys, you got to finesse your way through that. So Tony La Russa, I think we're forgetting one team. The Brewers. Nobody ever talks about the Brewers. And you look at the front end of their rotation with Woodruff, Burns, and Peralta. And then you look at the back end of their bullpen with
Now, but Hader, what we're saying is they
And then
they
you look at they're getting Norris, who, you know, lefty Norris is not the be-all, end-all, but he has had a very good July.
Yeah, he has.
Which you're running. Right. That's what you want to get. You want to get a hot guy. You get Escobar, who can do everything on the field defensively, is a switch hitter.
Fair point.
And you add Rowdy Tellez, who all of a sudden took his bats to Milwaukee and found out how to find the sweet spot, start driving the big part of the field, hitting some home runs, playing some good defense at first base. I just think the little engine that could in the National League with the Brewers, pitching and defense wins, and you get some timely hitting and play some defense and get some guys who are surprises.
And I'll tell you what else happened to the Brewers.
I like the Brewers.
But I'll tell you what else happened to the Brewers as well, as the Cincinnati Reds didn't make any.
Yeah, they were the one team for me that you go make a run at the shortstop that plays for the Rockies.
And it will be Ross Stripling against Daniel Lynch tonight. 7:07, the first pitch at Rogers Center. The first home game for the Toronto Blue Jays in 670. I every time I say that, I have to check myself. That's a long time.
Thank you. It was 159 road games for the Blue Jays?
Even for someone who's 103 years old like me, 670 days.
That's a long time.
Is a long, long time. Ross Atkins, the general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, is still speaking? Okay. So Ross got a lot to say. So are we looking at a 40-minute media session here, boys? Sitting 20? Well, we may have to do some thanking. We may have to do some thanking here.
Well, we may have to go to the text line, get some people's thoughts on what's going on.
595-90 is the text line.
What you think about the trades? Did they give up too much?
We could do that.
Do they need to do more? I think they still need to do more.
And, you know, we can always put pressure on Dylan and have him edit as he replays it. Can you do that? I know. No, I'm having fun. The part of the deal is you cannot air any clips from the news conference until it's done. It's the same thing. You're not supposed to send stuff out on Twitter. So, 590-590 is a text line. It's a day for the
Tell
fans.
Us what
we'll
you
go
think.
Back to the text line, and maybe Ross will finish talking by then.
All of your thoughts.
I think Ross is doing the pregame show on Blue Jay Central. Pitter patter. Let's get at it, Ross. Come on now. You said enough. Save some of your good stuff for Jamie and Joe. Come on.
Well,
Come on now. You said enough. Get off so we can get your tape cut here. Come on. Let's go. You didn't get me Jose Ramirez, but the least you can do is this. It's baseball
off-season.
Central. What?
Off-season. There's always the off-season.
Oh, there's always the off-season. I got my Jose Ramirez jersey all set to go. It's baseball central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Ross Atkins had a busy trade deadline. He's just finished his media availability. This is what the general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays had to say.
Hey, Ross, thanks for doing this. You guys have spent quite a bit of time building up your minor league system. What was it about today and this opportunity that you had that you decided it was time, the right time, to start spending some of that capital?
Good to see you, Gregor. No problem. Anytime. I think it's really just the combination of things occurring over several years where the development and maturation of our young core, the opportunities we've had over the last couple of off seasons to add to it. And now having our farm system in a place and a team that we'd like to help push to the next level. All the combination of those things making some sense and the opportunity to acquire the talent that obviously we were very excited about.
With Berríos coming with an extra year of control, like as you guys were preparing for this deadline, was he your top target going into this?
I mean, I think that's a fair assessment to say that certainly one of the top targets. And, you know, I think depending on who you talk to, that the consensus was definitely in and around him. You know, personally, I think the character, the makeup, the obviously the talent and the durability, and you know how accomplished he already is, but the full complement and all of the character that you know we've heard about and have seen, and the attributes in and around him was just, we felt like such a good fit for this team and this organization.
You know, you don't run everything by the players, but the way the players handled everything that they've been dealt with the last couple of years and the way they have played up to this trade deadline period, did that encourage you more to be aggressive and kind of reward the players for what they have done through all this adversity?
You know, I think we do try very hard to be objective and to always keep an eye on the future and make sure that, you know, our processes and the every decision-making juncture that we are exceptionally disciplined, but we're human. And I, you know, what our players and this team and our staff have, not necessarily what they've been through, but just how they've handled everything, gives us a great deal of confidence that it's a strong group that is united and that we believe in. And that's the thing that impacts us. You know, there is obviously some emotion, I think, you know, throughout the industry. I don't think it's Toronto specific, coming out of a pandemic and excited to be playing in front of fans again across the entire continent. And that energy and excitement around this sport and within entertainment is certainly impacting humans for sure.
Obviously, you've been in the game a long time. I've been in the game a long time. Can you characterize how busy your week was in the last week or so as things started to heat up? I can't imagine how many phone calls you and your staff have made over the last week.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of the busier ones, I think, for sure. It feels like it gets busier every year. Even when you know, you are potentially, your phone's not ringing, you're making others ring. So, you know, we've each year we get a little bit better at it here in our front office. We're, you know, a little bit more cohesive, a little bit more collaborative, and a little bit more connected than we were 2 days ago and 1 month ago and 2 years ago. So that increases efficiency, but it also increases opportunity. So there is a balance there, but there was also a calmness in our room and a lot of confidence that there was going to be an opportunity for us.
Hey, Ross, appreciate the time. I'm just wondering, as a general look across the landscape, I mean, it seems just based on prospect rankings and things of that nature that sellers did remarkably well at this trade deadline period. I'm just wondering if you could maybe, what was your sense of what the prices out there were like? And if you could maybe have a sense of why you think so many teams are maybe more willing to part with higher end prospects in these types of deals than in years past?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. I haven't, you know, really assessed it, you know, entirely throughout, but as we were going through, we felt as though that the asks were very high than what we were accustomed to. And then as we saw moves occurring, it appeared that those asks were being met. So, you know, it's a hard thing to, you know, really pin down and say one reasons why. I think, you know, the subjective reasons we just talked about, and, you know, with Buck's question and that excitement and energy around being, you know, for us and for the first time back in our home field. But I think, you know, throughout the game, people are just so excited to be playing baseball in front of fans again. And that, you know, probably has some impact, but, you know, everything is a bit cyclical in the world and in business, and we're seeing a bit of a shift here. So it's exciting. It really is exciting to see this deadline. It was one of the more invigorating deadlines that I can recall in a while, and I think that's ultimately good for baseball.
And Russ, I know you guys are always sort of operating on your own schedule and as to your own needs, but I'm wondering, as the landscape was shifting around you in recent days with some of the teams you're trying to catch making different moves, how that maybe impacted your potential willingness to pay that price on Berrios and maybe make some of the other moves you did.
Yeah, I mean, it's a similar response. Maybe you're trying not to. You're trying to discipline yourself because I think any research you do, any studying you do about decision making, about running a good business or running a good sports team is about being disciplined and about being patient. And in this case, we felt as though we were still doing that and felt as though the value was worth it. The opportunity to acquire Berrios was exciting for us and a very difficult decision, not something that we just walked into. And Austin Martin will be a great player, and Simeon Woods Richardson is going to be a great pitcher, and we're going to be pulling for them. So this was just an opportunity that we wanted to take.
All right. Thanks, Ross.
All right, Shai.
Go ahead, Keegan.
Hey, Ross, when you look at Berrios and the whole package, where does his durability fit in? Like, how do you value that when you're looking at a pitcher?
Yeah, I mean, it is, I think, we talk about it a lot all the time. I think in order to be a major league starting pitcher, I think it starts there. It starts with, in order to get better, you need to do it a lot. And to get those reps, you have to be durable. So he always has been. And, I think there's a lot of pitchers out there that maybe don't have his track record that can be as durable moving forward. But that is certainly an attractive attribute.
And then moving forward with the team control, and he's still young enough as well, where do you see further upside with Berrios? Like, is there part of his game that you think can get even better from here?
I think it is really interesting, as young as he is, as athletic and how hardworking he is, you know, it's easy to think about him just continuing on a positive trend, and that, whether that is in, more just how he's deploying his work and how he is, learning how to attack different teams and learning how to reshape certain pitches or make adjustments. He has the ability and all of the attributes to do all of those things. So we'll see. Time will tell on that front. But the current version and the current form was obviously exciting enough for us.
Just, before the deadline, you kind of talked about how starting pitching market might be, not have as much opportunity as some of the other markets. So when did it become sort of clear to you guys that the Twins were going to move on Berrios? And when did it feel really positive for you guys that you could match the offer they wanted?
It was very late in the process to answer all of those questions. In my discussions with Derek, we knew the potential was there. We also knew that it was going to be a very steep price. They want to continue to try to win. And, they could have very easily just had him pitch for them tonight. But we knew the price was going to be high. And I think working through our system with not only the Twins, but with other teams, there were clear targets that the entire industry was focused on. And fortunately, we had enough of them to meet the mark.
And going forward, how does this have a ripple effect? I know, obviously, that's a coaching decision and a manager decision as well. But like, and you guys have a lot of games coming up, so maybe there's opportunities to have six guys for a while. But what is the ripple effect of the rotation?
Yeah, I haven't finalized anything, and obviously Charlie will be the person that finalizes those decisions. So we haven't come up with anything final. We've actually only exchanged some brief texts about it. We talked about hypotheticals before, so we also brief interactions with Jose. We've talked about his preferences and desires, and we do have the need for additional starting pitching moving forward here in the short term. So we have those options. We'll work through it with the staff, and whether it's keeping a six man for an extended period of time, which seems like on paper right now, or just as we're sitting here today, it seems like the most realistic outcome for the short term. And having that as an option makes us better.
Hey, Ross, thanks for the time. You obviously didn't mess with the position player group at all. I mean, how comfortable are you with what you've got there? And did you go down the road looking for a left-handed bat, looking for maybe some defensive complements, whether it's a versatile guy or something in the outfield?
Yeah, I mean, really comfortable with our ability to score runs and excited about the acquisition of Corey Dickerson, and he should be healthy here. So he's already playing in games. I'm sure you guys are aware and should be an option for us here soon. Also feel good about some of the players in AAA. So, feel good about our AAA roster protecting us a little bit. And, Obviously, really encouraged by the potential of this offense, and we played much better defense. Other than a couple of hiccups here and there, there's reason to believe that our defense is on a more positive trend.
That was General Manager Ross Atkins. His media availability a little earlier today after the trade deadline. Jose Berríos is a member of the Toronto Blue Jays. Tyler Chatwood has been moved out to make room for him. Brad Hand is in Toronto. He is in the building. And Joaquin Soria as well will join the team. And they'll have to make a move.
Yep.
Involving him at some point as well. But Kevin, interesting. I mean, the quote that really stuck with me is, you know, Ross talking about the development and the maturity of this core. And this quote to me is the main one. This is a team we'd like to have pushed to the next level. That, I think, tells you that, frankly, that
it's go time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a window. Again, I mentioned this. I
think it's also
a window there for coaches.
I think the window is here now, too.
It is, right? Well, they said
this
that
year.
By who they traded, they've said that, who they're bringing in. You know, what do they do next? Do they go and try and find a third baseman? Do they find a better catcher? Which, for me, they have to find a better catcher. That's a must for me, a veteran guy who can get you through that inning that you have to get through. They just don't have that here.
And I know that we both know they focused on that. Like, I was told at one point today they were going to have another catcher in here. I guarantee. No, I mean, that obviously that didn't happen. But I think they realize that they don't have the guy until Gabriel Moreno gets here right now. Maybe Reese McGuire or Alejandro Kirk will turn into that guy. I don't think they necessarily think that's
the
case.
I just puts a lot more pressure on the manager too, Charlie Montoya. You know, I don't want to say anything about days are numbered or it puts more pressure on his losing his job and that kind of thing. But when you bring in a guy that you brought in, and this tells the coaching staff that now it's right, the guys that you go to, there has to be a sense of urgency. You can't be any, well, is this guy good enough? No.
Yep.
You have the right choice down there. You go to that till you can't go to it anymore. And it's must-win time, I think. They're making a serious run at this thing because all things, right? How many games they've not played at home, what the other teams in their division are doing, the Yankees, the Rays, the Red Sox, the move that they made, right? The lineup that the Blue Jays have can match up with all three of those teams. And add a little pieces, you can make a run at it.
Let's think about this. This is the Blue Jays bullpen, the remaking of their bullpen this month. Adam Simber, Trevor Richards, Brad Hand, Joaquin Soria. They've added some arms. John Axford is down in AAA. He's pitching pretty well. John Axford is going to be up here at some point. I think there's any doubt about that. And but you know, there's some guys that aren't going to have spots after tonight. Once all these moves are made, there's some guys that aren't going to be around here.
Yeah, where do you use Thomas Hatch? Where Trent Thornton, Kirby Snead? Like the obvious guys that haven't been there and done it before. That I say this all the time. Who can you hand the ball to in the seventh inning on the road in your division that can get you some big time outs? That's what they got to get.
You know Meza and you know Romano aren't going anywhere along with Berucki. Simber, Richards, Berucki, Hand, Soria. I mean, yeah, there's only so many.
You got some guys that have been there and done it before that the bright lights, the heartbeat ain't going to go faster.
Yep.
It's going to go slower.
We are now just a little more than an hour away from first pitch at the Rogers Centre, the first Blue Jays home game in 670 days. Ross Stripling on the mound for the Jays, Daniel Lynch for the Royals. What to make of the Royals? I mean, they are playing these three games. They are, I know it's going to seem like they're just sort of supporting actors here, but they are going to provide the opposition for the Blue Jays. They're a team a lot of people viewed as being a dark horse this year. I think that was put to bed relatively early, and now a lot of people look at them as being a dark horse for next year. Rex Hudler, the terrific Royals analyst, will join us next. Ned Colletti as well. It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
There wasn't a baseball show we liked, so we made one. This is Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
So we're a little more than an hour away from first pitch at the Rogers Centre. Ross Stripling will take the mound for the Toronto Blue Jays. The first game in Toronto in 670 days. the Jays opening a three-game series against the Kansas City Royals. We didn't even talk about the fact that the Jays, we had all the trade deadline stuff. We didn't talk about the fact that the Jays put the boots to the Boston Red Sox and beat the bejesus out of them, let's be honest, last night. And come into this game, three games over 500. And, you know, let's see what happens with the Rays and the Red Sox and the Yankees now. Let's see. They got to play each other a fair amount. Let's see how that sifts out between those
two. If you're the Blue Jays, you don't worry about anybody else but yourselves. You go out and play good baseball. Hopefully the guy on the mound pitches better than the other guy does. First time through is the most important part of the game for the pitcher that stands on the mound for the Toronto Blue Jays. If he can get them through the first time through the order so the Blue Jays lineup can figure out which way it's moving, what he throws with two strikes, late life on the heater, all of that stuff that they need to gain information with, they'll be all right.
The Kansas City Royals come into Toronto. They are 45-56, but they're coming off a 6-1 homestand. And they came off that homestand with a 5-0 win over the White Sox. As we said, this is a team that at the start of the year, a lot of us looked at as possibly being a dark horse. It's clearly a franchise that is on the way back. What are you looking at me like
that? No, you were the only one in this room.
I was the only one that thought it was a dark horse. Mr. Jays are going to win 90 games, Barker over there. I was the only one that I thought they were going to be. So I'm just going to say they're going to be a dark horse again next year.
Next year, I'm with you.
Let's bring in one of our favorites, Rex Hudler, Kansas City Royals analyst. I mean, I was right. Rex, I wasn't off base completely. There are a lot, the Royals in spring training, a lot of people were giddy about them, weren't they?
Oh, you better believe it, fellas. So good to hear your voices, man, and to be with you. It's been way too long, but thanks for calling me today, man. Hey, look, guys, you know, Mike Matheny, last year in his first 60 games that we all remember, and hopefully we never have a year like that again, he instilled a great positive attitude amongst the Royals and in the clubhouse. The experience that he gained in St. Louis was fantastic. He went to the World Series. He's well decorated for the Royals, and he's been a really good fit here. So he's got his guys going to spring training this year in 2021 saying, hey, guys, let's just concentrate on winning every spring game. And that was kind of a shock to a lot of people because we know that exhibition season means nothing. But he was doing that because he wanted to make sure that we didn't get off to a losing start in the first month of the season, a losing streak. We'd had those the last several years that have knocked us back, and it's so hard to climb back in it. So did he accomplish that? He did. He's got Jeff saying they're going to be the dark horse. Yeah, we all were excited about the start, but we know that it ain't how you start in this big leagues. It's how you finish. And then here comes the streak. The team, they lost 11 in a row right after that. And that brought them back down again. Then they won a few. Then they lost another streak. It's been one winning streak and one losing streak after another. But they're starting to come back now. They won 9 out of they're 9-3 in 12 games since the break. I mean, they're the hottest team in baseball. 3 out of 4 from the White Sox. You know, they swept Milwaukee, the central leaders this year, 2 at our house and 2 at their house. So they have potential, and we all know it starts with starting pitching.
Okay, Soler got traded obviously not too long ago. Is there anybody on that team that you thought was going to get traded that didn't?
Well, you know, I thought there might be some calls for Dyson. Because Dyson, you know, he's a nice piece to come in to pinch run late. You know, those are the weapons that we found out in 14 and 15 that were very effective late in games with the score tied. You got a guy who can steal a base. He's been playing all outfield defense for us, center field, right field, left field. Really a mature 10-year veteran. And I thought that maybe there might be somebody for Mike Minor. You know, we do have him for another year under control here. Some of the veteran guys, but not really, because Dayton Moore here, he says, you know, I'm not going to trade any pieces. I need big league talent. We got enough prospects. Don't need the big league talent. So not really surprised. They weren't going to trade Whit Merrifield. He's controlled for a couple more years at a nice low price, and he means a lot to this team. So he's not going to trade the heartbeat because he believes, Jeff, like you do. Now, Kevin, you may be a little skeptical, but Jeff, we're gonna win here again soon. We have tremendous starting pitching coming. It's going to happen soon, and we have the right guy at the helm, and that's Dayton Moore.
I just thought Carlos Santana, you know, switch hitter, plays first. You know, there were some teams that needed a first baseman. You know, he gets your professional at bat. He gets on base a lot. He getting a little older. That would be the guy for me.
Yeah, Kevin, you're going to see what he can do. This guy's he's been amazing. Right side of the plate, left side of the plate, even with his glove. But, you know, if you move him this time of year, there's not a lot of ready-made big leaguers that you're going to trade him for. The teams aren't going to give up their guys. I think if they wait in the offseason, they can get a veteran player or somebody who can make an impact on the team here. Like I mentioned, Dayton Moore, he's got a ton of prospects, and you know, and with the minor league systems all cut down this year, you know they eliminated I don't know how many jobs, thousands of jobs, you know. So you have so many prospects, and you want them to play every summer. You know, you can't load up with extra prospects because you want to play them. You got to develop them. So it's like a whoa on the prospects. We want ready-made big leaguers who can help, and I think we trade Santana in the offseason, we can get more for him.
Well, the guy that we're going to see tonight, Daniel Lynch, boy, he's part of that group with Brady Singer and Jackson Cower and Chris Bubich. You know, guys who were drafted in 2018. I mean, all of them, all those pitchers have debuted with KC this year. They really are, like, they are the future. This kid we're seeing tonight is one of the big parts of the future for this team, isn't he?
Oh, for sure. Now, if you see. I mean, he went 8 strong innings and could have gone for a CG, but they said, you know what, let's hold off on that. Let's not get too excited. But he had the best start of a Royals starter all year. He's got tremendous upside. Left-hander, you guys are going to see what he's got. You know, he's got a wipeout slider, good, pretty decent fastball. You know, but you guys love the heater, so he'll be careful where he locates that baby tonight against Vlad and all those guys that like that fastball. But you know, he got an excellent changeup. He's got a good 3-4 pitches that he can rely on. I like his mound makeup. His mound presence is really good. He's going to be a middle of the rotation guy, depending on where they line all these guys up, for sure. You'll watch him tonight, Kevin. You'll like him.
Okay, what do you think about the trade that the White Sox made, getting Craig Kimbrell? Going with Liam Hendricks at the end of the bullpen, you know, it makes a lot of sense. But I was telling Jeff that Tony La Russa, you got two alpha males at the back end of that bullpen now that rely and are confident with that, you know, number under that S, meaning the saves. How do you think Tony's going to handle that?
Oh, man, he's going to be great. Are you kidding? He gets another powerful arm, an established closer. Hey, Kopech, he was setting up, you know, you just said his name. I'm sorry.
Liam Hendricks.
He was setting him up. Kopech's throwing 98 to 100.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, before they even made that trade, I'm thinking, wow, that ain't fair. They got two guys in the back of their bullpen that can just bring cheddar. And so Kopech, now they got three guys in the back of the pen to hold a lead. Man, that was, to me, you know, we know the importance of the bullpen. And when you have an ad like that to their pen, and they have one of the best starting rotations in baseball, man, you better believe that they might be the heavy favorites to win and to win the American League championship. Let's see if they can put it together, even without Luis Robert, their center fielder, who was a phenomenal talent last year. We saw Eloy Jimenez comes back. Hopefully he'll work himself into shape, but he's an amazing player too. They've just got a lot of good pieces on that team. I think they're certainly a favorite to win with that starting rotation's amazing.
Rex, it's really good of you to join us, man. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Rex.
Oh, you guys are great. Hey, Jeff and Kevin, the only bummer is that we're not there.
I know.
I'd love to
be
able to come there. We miss your city and hope it's a wonderful night for you guys and the Blue Jays fans. They're wonderful people. And, man, we need Toronto in the major leagues. We got to have them here. And, man, what a road trip your boys have been on. It should be a really good night tonight, guys. Thanks for including me.
Yeah,
thanks,
you're the
man.
Best.
You be well. That's Rex Hudler, Kansas City Royals TV analyst. And again, first pitch is at about 7:07 tonight on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Ben Wagner, will have the call of the game. He'll join us in a few minutes. Ned Colletti as well, as we get you set for the Jays and the Kansas City Royals. First of 3 games. There will be 15,000 fans in attendance tonight, of course, as the Jays play their first game in 670 days. This is obviously all about the Blue Jays coming home. This is about the fact that there are roughly, by my count, I think there'll be about, 14 players who haven't actually played for the Blue Jays in the Blue Jays uniform. We saw a lot of them on social media. They went right to the ballpark when they got off the charter after the win over Boston last night. We saw a lot of stuff on social media from the Blue Jays.
So, yeah, it's obviously a big deal. It's a big day. It's a big night for the Blue Jays. Also, though, a huge night for baseball fans in Toronto, a huge night for sports fans in the city. Let's bring in Mark Douglas of 680 News, who was outside the ballpark today talking to fans. Mark, thanks so much for joining us. Followed you in social media, saw some of the stuff you were sending out. First of all, what has it been like at the gates tonight? Has it been pretty orderly? I know that, you know, we've all got protocols we're following. There is going to be testing, temperature testing, symptom testing, et cetera, at the ballpark. Has it gone well as far as you can tell?
Yeah, Jeff, I'm happy to say it's been going very well. I'm right now outside gates 10 and 11 here at the third base corner of the stadium. And everything I'm seeing here is very calm and orderly. It's a happy party spirit out here on the sidewalk. And as people go in, everybody's cooperating, no problems. Everyone's opening their bags. They're doing the security checks that have been here for a long time. And, of course, when they get inside, they're going to have to do that COVID screening questionnaire. But so far, no problems. Everything seems to be a well-oiled machine out here, and a very happy, well-oiled machine at that.
I was going to say, have you had a chance to talk? Because I know there's a lot of first responders and frontline workers there tonight. The Jays have seen to it that they will be at a number of games this year. Have you been able to talk to any of them, or just fans in general? And you know, look, we've gone back to our restaurants, we've gone back to our bars. You know, we've started to get back to normal as much as we can. This is kind of a big step now, because I don't know how many people have been in a place as big as Rogers Center since this thing happened. And even with social distancing, there's still going to be people passing each other and lining up and things like that. Are folks, give me the sense of how folks are feeling.
They're feeling happy, Jeff. They're just so happy. I mean, it's such an exciting time. And you're absolutely right. How long has it been since we've seen a crowd like this anywhere in Toronto, not just Rogers Centre? We know 670 days, that amazing number since the Jays have been here last. But just think about 15,000 people anywhere in Toronto all at once. It's a party atmosphere down here. You were asking about the frontline healthcare workers. Yes, I did actually meet one. And she was such a fantastic person. She works at an intensive care unit. And this is so great. This is something that's so great about the fans and the team and their relationship. The Jays have had with them, while they've been away, all these life-size cardboard cutouts of photographs of their ticket holders. You buy a ticket, you're going to go to the game, but you can send in a photo, and the Jays make a life-size picture of you, a cardboard cutout, and they take it with them on the road, and they put them up in the stands, especially in Buffalo, just to fill up that space in the empty stands with some fan presence, even though the fans could not be there in person. Anyway, so I met this Kathy woman who works at one of the ICUs here in Toronto, and the Jays gave her back her life-size cardboard cutout. She's wearing her scrubs in the photo. She's got the Blue Jays COVID mask on. And she tells me that she took the cardboard cutout to work with her just to cheer everybody up. And it was just this great, amazing laugh, a morale booster around the ICU, which, of course, is always going to be a very intense place in any hospital. But this Jays cutout just totally brightened up everybody's day. So Kathy is here at the game tonight. She brings the cardboard cutout back with her. She's got it with her right now. She's going to be holding it up in the stands, waving it around like a fan sign. And it's just one of those great moments with the fan and the Jays that really captures the whole mood of the evening here at Rogers Center.
Mark, listen, it was really good of you to join us today. I know what it's like to be doing streeters and standing out and talking to folks. Believe me, I've done all that, and thanks so much for joining us, man. You've been a real trooper. Take care.
All good. Happy to help out. Talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.
All righty. That is Mark Douglas of 680 News. And, that's kind of a cool story about that first responder. And there are going to be a lot of first responders and frontline workers at the ballpark. It's great to hear that it's going as smoothly as it is at the gates. And, I'm hoping that everybody's just in such a good mood to be able to actually have a shot at seeing this baseball team. You know, it's like I was thinking about this coming in today, just the stuff that's happened to this team since then. And when I say happened, I'm talking about, you know, when Vladdy was here last.
Yeah.
The last time he was on this field was the summer camp after they came back.
Yeah.
And all we were talking about was how fat he looked.
Yeah.
No, I swear to God, we were talking about was how fat he looked. Austin Martin was there. We're making a big deal about Austin Martin.
Yeah.
And in that time, you know, in that time, they've added George Springer to one of the biggest contracts in team history. Vladdy, and he ain't mentioning Vladdy's weight anymore. We're just trying to figure out how many MVP awards the guy is going to win.
Yeah.
You know, now we talk Vladdy, we talk about 300. We're talking about hitting him 300, not weighing 300, right? You know? So a lot of stuff has changed. He's gone to the All-Star game. Bo's gone to the All-Star game.
Yeah.
Marcus Semien's gone. Marcus Semien hasn't played a home game here. It's going to be his first time here. Teoscar Hernandez. When the last Jays home game a couple of years ago, we're going, Teoscar, yeah, he might be a guy. I mean, who knows, you know.
He's taken off.
He's taken off.
Yeah.
He's taken off. So there's a lot of growth and a lot of improvement that has happened to this team since they left Toronto. And it's going to be so energizing to see that here. And I, as I said, we talked about this. I think the two guys that are just going to just take off because of this are Hyunjin Ryu.
Yeah.
Who's already, he's worked his way back now. He
said it out loud that he needed this.
He needed this. And as I said, I think Bo, Mr. Bright Lights himself.
Yeah. Hitting clean up, coming home, wanting to do something special.
I think he's going to be jacked.
If you remember correctly, and I've said this before, he was the one that said we want to carry a trophy across the field.
He did.
Well, you're hitting cleanup.
Yep.
Do something about it.
Absolutely. Ned Colletti is the former general manager of the LA Dodgers, assistant GM of the San Francisco Giants. He knows a little bit about trade deadline. He wrote a book called The Big Chair, which is, well, a perfect title for the book, if you read it. And the big chair, well, I don't know. I guess at the trade deadline, it can either seem a little too big or a little too small, depending on what your team does at the trade deadline. The LA Dodgers certainly made a big splash. Ned Colletti joins us next. This is Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, first pitch is now 35, probably 40-odd minutes away at the Rogers Center. Ben Wagner will have the call on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. He'll join us from the ballpark in a few minutes. The Toronto Blue Jays are home after 670 days on the road.
159 road games.
159
Stay
road
games. Stay hot. That's a lot of road
that's
games.
Almost, that's almost a
that's
full,
a lot
that's
a, of road
that's
games.
Almost a full year of road games.
That's a ton. To even think that they're three games above 500, they made the playoffs last year, everything they've been through, how can anybody complain about this team? Really? Like, you just say that out loud to yourself, what they went through just to try and keep it all together is good for Ross to go out and do what he did. Good for him.
And what was Ross's line today? I love because one of the things the Blue Jays have done very well throughout this whole thing, and this goes throughout the organization, this goes to ownership, this goes to management, this goes to everybody, top to bottom, is they've showed a little bit of sensitivity. And what I mean by that is, at no point, you know, Ross Stripling made some comments about, hey, you know, I wasn't focused on my start because my family was leaving and you know, and new father.
There you go.
I mean, I've been there. New father.
Yeah.
I get that. You know, where fans may roll their eyes. I don't care. I get that. I think on a very human level, it was a human reaction to the situation. But by and large, these guys haven't bitched about anything. You know, if they've complained, it's been, you know, kind of, man, it's, you know, too windy at Dunedin boy, you know, too many Red Sox fans in Buffalo. But everybody in this organization has understood, even from a distance, what was going on in this city and what was going on in this country and the border issue and how it wasn't simply a matter of saying, hey, the numbers are good, let's open the border. There were a lot of governments. There were a lot of agencies involved in this. There were three levels of government, a lot of agencies. There was just a ton going on. You had to get the Players Association approval. You had a bunch of stuff you had to do. And I love what Ross said. Ross didn't cry poor today when he was asked about whether or not he thought he owed the team something, quote, because of what they went through. He said, no, I owe this team because of the way they handled the situation. And I thought that in a nutshell sums up this organization. Yeah. They didn't bitch about it.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't whine about it. They were aware that people were dying. People were losing their jobs. People were worried about their jobs. People weren't seeing family. There was a lot going on. And they dealt with it.
Got to be able to read the room. Good front office to do that. We talked about exactly. That guy in Seattle. Yeah.
Yeah, well.
How's that going? Yeah.
Jerry DePoto.
How about that?
Yeah. What happened? Your cell phone died this morning? I mean, come on, lob a softball question at the guy. Just lob one little softball.
Well, that's what happens.
Yeah, Jerry DePoto.
Well, that's what happens when you trade one of the best closers in baseball. You hadn't made the playoffs in 20 years.
So the Jays have made a couple of moves. Jose Berríos is not with the team yet. I don't believe he's here in the flesh. But they couldn't waste any time DFAing Tyler Chatwood together. They said, get out of here. He'll be gone to make room for Jose Berríos. Brad Hand is here. Kirby Snead has been sent down. Jonathan Davis has been designated for assignment. Joaquin Soria will be along at some point. And the Jays will have to make a move for him. I would imagine these guys. Like, one thing I didn't ask Ross Atkins is whether, or I didn't ask, I wasn't there, but one thing I don't think Ross Atkins got asked is, I presume with COVID protocols, all these guys are good to go. We saw Brad Hand being interviewed in the field. So
I'm sure, yeah.
I presume they're good to go. You know,
they'll cross their T's and dot their I's and do the things they have to
do.
Well,
and
the
other thing too is, you know what? You get traded to a new team. You want to get your bag in the hotel room. You want to have dinner. You want to have a shower. You want to go down and check out your clubhouse. Like, you ain't interested in going out on the town. You want to get set up and get yourself situated. We're waiting Ned Colletti. We have Ned Colletti.
Nice.
Bonus on just on time, no surprise. Mr. Colletti, sir, how you keeping?
Oh, doing good. How about today, huh?
Hey, you know, I was thinking of you, Ned Colletti, who is a Dodgers analyst. We always do. Former general manager, author of The Big Chair. But I was thinking, there were so many trades made today, I expected to see Ken Rosenthal tweet that Ned Colletti had traded somebody for, I don't know. I just thought everybody's made a trade today. So, Jesus, Ned's got to make a trade too. How close did you come to trading somebody today?
Well, we almost made a couple, but we couldn't quite pull it off.
Ned, you've been through a lot of these. First of all, what was your read on this deadline? And secondly, was there a deadline you were involved in that was crazy?
Probably, but never this crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I just posted something. I probably missed a couple people. The players who got traded in the last week, if this was an expansion draft, which I just went through in the NHL, if this was an expansion draft of everybody who got traded, there would be a very, very good team. You never see a very, very good team like this. I mean, accumulated through everything between the starting pitchers, the relievers that got traded, infielders, outfielders, catchers. I mean, there's a lot of talent that packing clothes and packing boxes today.
Okay, Ned.
Never seen anything like it.
Yeah, Ned, what would be harder for a GM? Is what the Cubbies did, which, you know, a fire sale. You're trying to get is the biggest package you can possibly get for all those guys, or something that Ross Atkins did, right? Trade a couple of his top five prospects for a pitcher. Which one's harder for a GM?
Well, I was very fortunate. I think I had 1 year where I traded off Rafael for Kyle. Mm-hmm. Other than that, every time I was in the buying mode, it's exciting. I can tell you the one time I had a sell off, a player, traded Rafael to the Cardinals who helped get to the World Series there. It was tough to trade in Rafael. I can't imagine what Jed's going through right now or Mike in Washington. I mean, you're talking about moving people that you've been with through the greatest days of their career to date, and really some of the greatest days of your career to date. Talking about a World Series in 2016, a World Series in 2019, people that you've grown and watched grow up in a lot of cases. And suddenly, you know what? You're just giving them news. Hey, I wish you well, and well, you know, I'll see you from across the field. That is very difficult to do, and especially in markets like Washington and Chicago, I think, especially in Chicago where you got the other team that made another great deal today, Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams. And it's, you know, it's tough to do it. Maybe it's because of where I'm at in my life and my age to think about stripping something down completely. And really banking on prospects and banking on young players, as Jimmy Leland told me years ago, prospects are minor league players. You know, some are going to be big league players and good ones, but not all of them.
Boy, the team, the Dodgers, the team that you spend a lot of time around. You know, I mean, Max Scherzer and Trey Turner. I still think of that and think of where the Nationals were a couple of years ago. And you know, it's funny. I was exchanging emails with a former member, shall we say, a former member of the Montreal Expos who went through the fire sale after the 94 player strike. And he said, man, this has got to be like the second worst French day in franchise history in terms of moving guys out. Of course, the Expos were the Nationals. But explain to me how, and our understanding, based on what Ken Rosenthal reported, was that the Padres were close to Max Scherzer. Getting a Max Scherzer deal done. Now I understand getting close is not the same as getting it done. But what do you think happened here? How did it go from Max Scherzer's almost a member of the Padres to he's going to the Dodgers and, oh yeah, Trey Turner is helping him move?
Well, it's a very interesting time. And I don't know exactly, but let me play a scenario for you, okay? Somebody on Washington or Canadian post something about, hey, we got the players figured out to go to San Diego. What is that going to do most likely to the Dodgers or any other team that's involved if you're really hearing it from a source that you most of the time know is going to be accurate? Well, you go, geez, you know, we may have to up the offer. We may have to put another player in, you know. So a lot of times the media ends up not more than half and not a huge percentage, but the media can make things happen. And the media has no downside to being wrong, okay? Mm-hmm. Another thing is that when you have Max Scherzer and you've got a 10-5 right to dictate where you're going to go, you know, it didn't make sense to me when I saw it. You know, I said, you know what? I got to see it done to believe that he's going to San Diego. It's not L.A. And the Dodgers are sitting three back of the Giants. The Padres are sitting three back of the Dodgers and six back of the Giants. So in some ways, nine back because I got two teams to call over. You know, the Dodgers were an obvious choice, not just because I do TV for them or work there, but I just didn't believe it. I think there were too many factors involved, too many things that were unsettled to get to that point. All it did was perhaps make nobody excited who knew what was going on, or make people excited in a city that it never took place in.
Ned, you may have just answered this a little bit, but yeah, when you were making the calls for a team, did you ever make those calls because a team in your division did something and you were like, oh, they did that, now I have to do this, sort of like what the Giants did last minute?
No, I don't. I can never do that.
No?
Because you got to worry about your own team.
Yeah,
and you got to build your team the way you can build it with the players you need. And you can't really go, okay, they made a move, I'm going to make a move. They made a move, I'm going to make a move. You can't do it. It's not that easy. You can't chase it. I think San Francisco had their eyes on Brian for a while, and it just took that much time to get it done. And you know, there's a chance that the Giants had more than one player that they were looking at. And so you kind of walk things parallel. You're always walking deals parallel. Maybe two, three, four, five at a time. You're kind of walking parallel, and you know everybody you're talking to, so you know when their voice changes. You know when, hey, they're serious. You know when they're starting to get a little bit thin in the conversation, and you're starting to think that, you know what, I'm not sure this is going in the right direction. Or sometimes you got a good enough relation with somebody where they say, hey, look, your offer's nice, but it ain't as good as we're getting from some other place. So you've got to have a bunch of different things going on. I don't think the Giants getting Bryant was a reaction to anything the Dodgers did or the Padres did earlier. I think it was really a reaction to how well that team has played. Because when you play as well as that team has played, somebody better walk in that room on the 30th of July or the 31st of July that you know is a difference maker, because the players have earned that. I think Toronto did the same thing this week. I think you owe that to your team. Players know. And if somebody doesn't walk through in that room that is a difference maker, and they've played, a team has played as hard as they've played and come from where they've come from this year, where nobody expected them to be in this spot, you don't recognize that with Chris Bryant or somebody else of that stature, you may go 500 the rest of the way.
Ned, one of the things the Blue Jays did, obviously getting Jose Berríos was the big move they made, but in the past 3 weeks, Ross Atkins has basically rebuilt his bullpen. A good thing, too, because at the bullpen, you know, we can make the case that even if the bullpen gets five more wins out of it, this team is closer to a playoff spot right now. How hard is it to do that, to rebuild a bullpen in season?
Well, it is difficult, and I think he's done a nice job there. And, you know, he knows, like everybody knows, you're probably not going to get there. But even if you get there, you're not going to have a long October life if you cannot close out games and pitch late in games. And you look at starting pitching, it usually shrinks a little bit as far as the workloads when you get into October. So it's imperative to do what he did. It's also one of the toughest things to do, because you have to know not just the talent or the analytics of a relief pitcher, but in my opinion, you have to know who they are. When they get in the bright lights of Fenway or Yankee Stadium or someplace else, how are they going to react, especially relievers that have come from second division clubs, bottom tier clubs? You know, when's their last big game? How do they pitch when you cannot make a mistake, where, you know, we talk about control and command. Control is throwing strikes. Command is throwing really effective strikes. You know, what's their command of their pitches? What's their command of their heartbeat, their pulse? You know, all those things. And sometimes that is the toughest thing to do. And you've got to really pick the right players, because analytically, statistically, watching on television, scouting, yeah, you can pretty much gauge, okay, who can help us, who can't. But when you get to the last couple of weeks of September, from that point on, you better know who's inside that uniform and how they're going to react when it's the pitch of the year, or maybe the pitch of their career.
Okay, last one before we let you go. All things equal, Dodgers need one win. Who gets the ball, Scherzer, Buehler, or Kershaw?
All three of them. You go three, three,
three. That's a great answer.
You get Kevin Cash to manage the team, answer. And you got three innings from each of them. I don't know what the big deal is. You get three innings from each of them. It's easy.
It's a great situation, I tell you.
It is.
Hey, Ned, listen, thanks so much for joining us. Hey, it's great to hear your voice as always. Stay safe, man.
Always a pleasure. Gentlemen, love you. Be well.
Take care. It's Ned Colletti, former general manager of the L.A. Dodgers and longtime Major League Baseball executive, now also an NHL scout, former hockey writer, former PR director.
Been there and done it. It's funny he mentioned the heartbeat. That's a big deal. When I tried to play in the big leagues and I started games, it's different than pinch hitting in the eighth and ninth inning.
Sure it is.
Huge difference. You got to control that one thing, the heartbeat, and only think about what you want to do when you walk to the plate or you're on the mound, or it's a big deal. And to get those guys that's been there and done it, who understand how to, when they're running from the bullpen to the mound, runner on second base with two outs in the eighth inning, that's the one thing they got to control. And now it's about where I want to throw the ball, being efficient, having that two-strike pitch. And they don't grow on trees, and it's hard to find them.
Ben Wagner is the radio voice of the Blue Jays. He will have the call at tonight's game. He will join us next. Ugh, it's getting close to first pitch. Can't wait. It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, first pitch is 7:07 p.m. from the Rogers Center. The Jays are back home for the first of three games against the Kansas City Royals. First time there will have been Blue Jays baseball at the Rogers Center in 670 days. And that just seems like a lot to even say that. 590-590 is the text line. We've been soliciting texts, and we will throughout baseball. So we do it all the time. Basically, you can reach out and text us whether we're on 2-3 or 5-7. We had a busy, busy day today. Lots of stuff to get to. But Mark Boffa, before we bring Ben Wagner in, let's
let's hit the text line for a couple of texts, because as we said, today is as much about the fans as it is about the players, to be honest.
All righty. So Mike from Saskatoon, not just people in Toronto who are excited, but everybody from around Canada. He says, hey, Barker and Blair, before everyone gets wound up about the deals, let's take a breath and admit that the front office likely has a much better perspective on the prospect talent than we do. I seem to remember some concern about the future talent we gave up in 2015, and most people probably couldn't even name those prospects anymore. I, for one, will assume the front office made the right call here, and quite honestly, I really like the look of Ray, Ryu, Barrios, and Manoa. Mike in Saskatoon.
Yeah, look, I mean, I've talked about this. This isn't 2015. 2015, you were trading a bit of your future to add to an old core. You knew that Batista and Encarnacion Donaldson weren't going to be around for the next 2 or 3 years, and that was right. I mean, 2016 mm-hmm. was the last crack of that. Everything fell apart after that. That's not the case with this team. The big difference with this core is, even if the new CBA changes free agency, Kevin, you're going to have these dudes for another 3 years minimum.
This is a start of a 5-year window.
Yeah, exactly.
It really is.
So this is completely different situation. But I mean, you're right, Mike. As my friend Mr. Barker said, I'm sitting next to a guy who at one point the Milwaukee Brewers would not have traded for anything.
No,
and what's
chance.
He doing right now? Well, he's not living in a van down by the river, but he's pretty damn close. He's doing 5-7 with Jeff Blair. So it's not like, you know, it's not like Barker's path as a mega prospect panned out, although you did okay for yourself.
Decent. I got a cool family out of it. I'll take that.
Yeah, you did okay. And I'm not that bad, am I? Okay, Boffo, next text.
Do you gents know who's going to be out there in free agency at second base, third, or catcher this offseason? Who would you have your eye on?
I mean,
it has to be a catcher. For me, the first one is catcher. You can fill in the blanks at third, I think, a little bit with Santiago Espinal. At second, yeah, maybe they'll make a run at Marcus Semien, that kind of thing. But for me, Jeff, you got to find the guy. The one inning that keeps yelling and screaming at me was Kirk and Borucki. In the sixth inning and not getting him through it, they need that guy.
Yeah.
That, for me, is the first one.
You know what my answer is going to be? It's not in the free agent market. There's only one guy I want in this team next year. And that's Jose Ramirez. There you go.
Well, you'd have to give up the two that we've been yelling and screaming not to give up.
Jose Ramirez is going to be with the Jays next year. Mark down when I said that. Jose Ramirez
You've been saying it all year. Sooner or later, it's going to come true.
Ben Wagner, what's it like to be in the radio booth? I guess you got Tom Young behind you, right? So it's got to feel like old days.
It feels incredibly comfortable, I'll be honest with you. Tom Young is here. He's got his thumb into the air. He might be the second happiest person to be in this ballpark tonight.
Nice.
What's the mood like, Ben? Simple question. You've been down on the field, I'm sure, seen players, talked to them. What's the mood like?
Energy. That's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling opening day, Canada Day. I was fortunate enough 2015, 2016, especially in September, to be around the Rogers Center when the Blue Jays were making that run. Now, the size of the crowd doesn't create that energy tonight, but who is here already creating a nice buzz during batting practice and the familiar sounds that you realize you were without for so long? Kids screaming, running after batting practice home run balls, yelling for an outfielder or somebody that's out there shagging, you know, to chuck a ball into the seats. That fan energy was, I think, not only picked up on from the players, but the players hit the field with their first step today in the energy. And droves of reporters, the scene is what you want and what we have all been longing for.
Okay, Ben, when you were out today riding your Schwinn, getting your exercise, and you heard the news come across the wire.
What the hell's a Schwinn?
It's a bicycle.
Yeah, well, I mean,
listen, first off, give me that much credit. Well, I ride a Huffy.
I know you are, yeah. Yeah. The Schwinns are a little bit too big. Feet can't touch the ground. But, hey, what was your thoughts when you heard the news that the Blue Jays made the big trade?
I knew the Blue Jays weren't done. I just knew it. I knew, talking with people within the organization, that they had a hope of getting something big done, and something big would have been a starting pitcher to jump into this
rotation. Austin Martin in the mix, though?
Austin Martin in the mix? No, I would have put Austin Martin on the list of guys that were available.
Me too.
I only have two or three guys that I think are untouchable within player development. But I realize, too, the stock is much higher within this system, and that gives him flexibility. But you know what, guys? Listen, and I've been fortunate enough in April and May to be in Dunedin and be very close to this team and also the scouts, people and executives that were coming through Dunedin. And I would ask the question, have you seen Austin Martin? What'd you think of Austin Martin in spring training? And nobody could give me a definitive answer of what Austin Martin is. Mm-hmm. Is he an outfielder? Is he an infielder? Is there a special skill that he possesses? Because nobody has been able to put their finger on it. They think he's a good baseball player, but he doesn't possess a big arm. He doesn't have overwhelming handedness to make contact with the baseball. He certainly doesn't have a lot of pop. We've seen that. So more and more, I took Austin Martin off of my top prospect list that you can't touch.
Well, I mean, we've talked about this. I told Barker, I've talked to a couple of people who scout the Jays organization very closely, and all I keep hearing is Aurelvis Martinez. You know,
that's
of course Gabriel Moreno. That's all I hear from everybody.
Mm-hmm. Those are the two guys. Simeon Woods Richardson is interesting, but that is the cost mm-hmm. to get a deal done like this.
Okay, Ben, the one Blair asked me this all the time. Who the one guy, the one player for the Toronto Blue Jays that you think this move to the Rogers Center is going to help the most?
That is an awesome question. The guy that I think it's going to help the most is Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Really?
Yep.
Why?
Because Vladdy's on a mission. Vladdy's on a mission to continue what he has retooled himself to look like and then ultimately to become, and now is capitalizing on that. And now it's time to get back to a place where he was at the end of 2019, and he left people. Now, he's not reading into this, but we all interact with fans, and we see the interaction in social media, too. People were raising their eyes. Like, what is Vladimir Guerrero Jr.? Where's this guy that we expected to come in here and change the franchise immediately from the first time that he stepped onto the field? I think Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is as jazzed up about this opportunity to come to Toronto and show in front of the fan base what he's been able to do under incredible circumstances through Dunedin, Buffalo, and any other challenger, and to continue it going.
Ben, listen, I'm going to let you run, have a couple of drinks of water, or in your case, probably five cups of coffee. Mm-hmm. Get the voice ready, and you will be. I will be listening to you driving home tonight, my friend.
Me
I'm
too.
So happy you're back on the air. You know that. You know how deep our feeling is for you here at this place. So just enjoy yourself, man. You deserve it, and it's going to be a real treat.
The opportunity's not lost on me to be here for you guys and all the fans that have been patiently waiting for this moment.
Thanks, guys.
Have fun, buddy.
Ben Wagner, the radio voice of the Blue Jays. Mr. Barker, we have an hour left, quite a day. Trade deadline, Jose Berrios coming here, some bullpen help. We got the Kansas City Royals in town. The sun's out, the roof's open.
Get any better?
No. It's going to be something. Listen, we appreciate you joining us today. We will be back 5 to 7 next week for our next couple of weeks. In fact, as we serve as your Blue Jays pregame show. If you're going to the ballpark tonight, have fun, be patient, cheer as loud as you can. If you're going to the ballpark this weekend, enjoy the sun. Just enjoy the fact that the Blue Jays are home. And, as one of my old friends always used to say, now you sit back and enjoy Blue Jays baseball on the radio.